Chapter 15. Odd things happen to all of us on our way through life, sometimes quite without our noticing right away. Thus, to take an instance, we might suddenly discover that we have been deaf in one ear, but we've no idea how or when it happened. Quite unusual. Now, such a strange experience as this came that night to Peter. When last we saw him, he was stealing across the island with one finger to his lips and his dagger at the ready. He had seen the crocodile pass by without noticing anything peculiar about her. But by and by, he remembered that she had not been ticking. At first he thought this eerie, but soon concluded rightly that the clock had run down. Without giving a thought to what might be the feelings of a fellow creature thus abruptly deprived of her closest companion, Peter began to consider how he could turn the catastrophe to his own use. And he decided to tick, so that wild beasts should believe he was the crocodile, and thus let him pass undisturbed. He ticked superbly, but with one unforeseen result. The crocodile was among those who heard the sound, and she followed him, though whether with the purpose of regaining what she had lost, or merely as a friend under the belief that she was again ticking herself, will never be certainly known. Peter reached the shore without mishap, and went straight on, his legs encountering the water as if quite unaware that they had entered a new element. Thus, many animals pass from land to water, but no other human of whom I know. As he swam, he had but one thought.
Hook or me this time.
He had ticked so long that he now went on ticking without knowing that he was doing it. Had he known, he would have stopped. For to board the brig by help of the tick, though an ingenious idea, had not occurred to him. On the contrary, he thought he had scaled the Jolly Roger's side as noiseless as a mouse, and he was amazed to see the pirates cowering from him, with Hook in their midst, as abject as if he had heard the crocodile. The crocodile! No sooner did Peter remember her than he heard the ticking. At first he thought the sound did come from the crocodile, and he looked behind him swiftly. Then he realized that he was doing it himself, and in a flash he understood the situation.
How clever I am!
Peter!
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 He signed to the lost boys not to burst into applause. It was at this moment that Ed Tent, the quartermaster, emerged from the forecastle and came along the deck. Now, time what happened by your watch. Tent caught a glimpse of a shadow.
What's that then?
He was expecting a shadow, as pirates almost always do, but he was not quite prepared for one in the form of a boy.
Ye ain't no crocodile!
Peter struck true and deep. John clapped his hands over the ill-fated pirate's mouth to stifle the dying groan. Tent fell forward. Four boys caught him to prevent the thud. Peter gave the signal, and the carrion was cast overboard. There was a splash, and then silence.
One.
Slightly had begun to count. None too soon, Peter, every inch of him on tiptoe, vanished into the cabin, for more than one pirate was screwing up his courage to look round.
Heave to!
Did you hear that?
Aye.
I think.
What in the name of Barnacle Billy is going on?
They could hear each other's distressed breathing now, which showed them that the more terrible sound, that dreaded ticking, had passed.
Oh, it's gone, Cotton. All still again.
Still as a mouse.
Stiller than my rat.
Oh, poor Whiskers!
The bravest ratty friend to sail the seven seas.
Slowly, Hook let his head emerge from his ruff and listened so intently that he could have caught the echo of the tick.
Are you sure?
Not a sound, Captain.
It is clear.
Hook drew himself up firmly to his full height.
Captain on deck.
Then here's to Johnny Plank.
Now he hated the boys more than ever, because they had seen him unbend. He broke into a villainous ditty.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, the frisky plank, he walks along it so.
To terrorize the prisoners the more. Though with a certain loss of dignity, he danced along an imaginary plank, grimacing at them as he sang, and encouraging his dogs to taunt them.
Below. Scurvy lads, off with ye.
Keel whores.
Down to Davy Jones with ye.
You're to be sure, Kabit, now.
Lads.
Bravely, the boys put their hands to their heart.
Ye faithful child of heaven and in vivid ray of moon, live found and free, O motherland of star or red lagoon.
Scourge of the seven seas.
Come, holy hum, and rule Britannia.
I don't like that, messmate.
Stow that, Starkey.
Do you, wretched boys, want a touch of the cat before you walk the plank?
At that, the boys fell to their knees. They cried so piteously that every pirate smiled.
Not a black cat.
It's not a real cat, Noodler. Wait, is it?
Fetch the cat, Jukes. It's in the cabin.
The cabin? Peter was in the cabin. The children gazed at each other.
Hey, hey, Captain. Fetch the cat, Jukes. Sure. Always go and fetch the cat, Jukes. Never please go and fetch the cat, Jukes.
And thus, Duke strode into the cabin. The boys followed him with their eyes. They scarce knew that Hook had resumed his song, his dogs joining in with him.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, the scratching cat, its tails are nine, you know. And when it's ripped upon your back.
What was the last line will never be known, for all of a sudden, the song was stayed by a dreadful screech from the cabin. It wailed through the ship.
Blimey!
And died away. Then was heard a crowing sound, which was well understood by the boys, but to the pirates was almost more eerie than the screech.
What was that?
Two.
Checo hesitated for a moment, and then swung into the cabin.
Jukes, where are ye?
Checo tottered out, haggard.
What's the matter with Jukes, you dog?
He's a dead.
Well, Jukes a dead.
Oh, I don't feel happy now.
Oh, good Lord, please.
Oh, the cabin is as black as a pit, but there's something terrible in there. The thing you heard, crowing.
The exultation of the boys. The lowering looks of the pirates. Both were seen by Hook. In his most steely voice, he said,
Checo, go back and fetch me out that doodle-doo.
Checo, bravest of the brave, cowered before his captain.
No, no, please, no.
But Hook was purring to his claw.
Did you say you would go, Chico?
Aye. Oh, me.
Checo went, first flinging his arms despairingly. There was no more singing. All listened now. And again came a death screech, and again a crow. No one spoke, except slightly.
Three.
Hook rallied his dogs with a gesture.
Is death a dog's fish? Who is to bring me that doodle-doo?
Wait till Checo comes out.
The others took up the cry.
Oh, yes. It'd be much more polite to wait.
Too beautiful.
Hang that jib. I'll not go. I'd sooner be keel
hauled. You give Checo no quarter, Captain. He's no scallywag. Let him stick to doodle-doo.
Well, best he get on with it. My patience wears thin.
Captain, this ship is accursed. These murky waters cry out to feed the fish and welcome a man to the depths of Davy Jones' locker.
It is a black spot to set foot in that cabin now.
Oh, for the love of the Hook!
It is a black spot.
Not this again!
That doodle-doo will cleave him to the brisket. Checo's handy with a cutlass, but to enter that cabin is doom.
Sir, weigh anchor and hoist the mizzen.
I think I heard you volunteer, Starkey. Always a gentleman.
No, by thunder.
My Hook says you did.
I wonder if it would not be advisable, Starkey, to humor her.
By Briny Deep. I'll hang from the yardarm before I go in there.
And again, he had the support of the crew.
He can't go in there.
I think we should wait.
Is this mutiny?
Starkey's ringleader.
Captain, mercy. Captain, mercy.
Starkey was all of a tremble now.
Shake hands, Starkey.
Oh. Hook was proffering his claw. Starkey looked round for help. But all had deserted him. As Starkey backed up, Hook advanced. And now the red spark was in his eye. With a despairing scream, the gentleman leapt upon Long Tom and precipitated himself into the sea.
Four.
And now, did any others say mutiny?
Anyone to join the gentleman Stouty?
Who?
I ain't been knowing anyone by that name.
I did not even know the late Starkey.
As it should be.
I'll bring out that doodle-doo myself.
Hook sped into the cabin, slightly wet his lips to be ready. Five. How he longed to say it. Instead, they all watched as Hook came staggering out without his lantern.
Something blew out. Something blew out the light.
Something?
What of Checo?
He's as dead as Jukes.
Something got him.
Sink me!
Hook's reluctance to return to the cabin impressed them all unfavorably. And the mutinous sounds again broke forth. As I've mentioned before, all pirates are superstitious. And that rumble of fear had now broke free. Cookson glanced round anxiously.
They do say the surest sign a ship's accursed is when there's one on board more than can be accounted for.
I've always heard he boards the pirate craft last.
Had he a tail, Captain?
They say that when he comes, it's in the likeness of the wickedest man aboard.
Had he a hook, Captain?
One after another took up the cry.
The ship's doomed!
Disaster looms over us all!
Cursed. Cursed. The end is nigh.
My black duck, say no.
Oh, I knew I should have taken up the gnome at 27 on his offer to be a tailor.
At this, the children could not resist raising a cheer.
Jolly good.
Splendid.
Bloody brilliant.
Michael, language.
Hook had well nigh forgotten his prisoners. But as he swung round on them now, his face lit up again.
Lads, now here is a notion. Open the cabin door and drive those children in. Let them fight the doodle-doo for their lives. They killed him. We're so much the better. If he kills them, we're none the worse.
For the last time, his dogs admired Hook, and devotedly they did his bidding. The boys, pretending to struggle, were pushed into the cabin.
Oh, yes. Unhand me, you devious dunder.
Let me go, you calamitous goldfish.
Let go of me. Unhand me.
Ugh,
your breath is astonishingly putrid.
No, stop!
You shan't force me in, you miserable maggot!
Unhand me at once, you slimy eel!
Oh, no, not that.
And the door was closed on them.
Now, listen.
The pirates all listened, but not one dared to face the door. Yes, one. Wendy, who all this time had been bound to the mast. It was for neither a scream nor a crow that she was watching. It was for the reappearance of Peter. She had not long to wait. In the cabin, he had found the thing for which he had gone in search. The key that would free the children of their manacles.
Thank you.
Now they all stole forth, armed with such weapons as they could find. First, signing them to hide, Peter went to cut Wendy's bonds.
Peter, let us fly from here.
And then nothing could have been easier than for them all to fly off together. But one thing barred the way. An oath.
Hook on me this time.